We praise him, we seek his aid, we seek his help, and we seek his forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whoever Allah allows to stray, there is no one to guide them toward the right. Whoever Allah guides toward the right, there is no one that can lead them astray. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Noble Quran, the translation of the meaning, excuse me, and upon Allah rely, if you should be believers. And Allah Azza wa Jal also states, and whoever relies on Allah, then he is sufficient for him. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, regarding his pious slaves, the translation of the meaning, he says, our Lord, upon you we have relied, and to you we have returned, and to you is the destination. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said to his messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the translation of the meaning, so rely upon Allah, indeed you are upon the clear truth. And he also said to the Prophet, and when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him. And also he says, and rely upon Allah. And Allah, and sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said in regards to the Sahaba, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was translated as those to whom people, meaning the hypocrites, said, indeed the people have gathered against you, so fear them. But it merely increases them in faith. And they said, sufficient for us is Allah, and He is the best disposer of affairs. In the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned 70,000 people who will enter paradise without reckoning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in regards to the characteristics, he said, there are those who do not ask for ruqya, incantations, are not pessimistic, or perceive evil omens, or use capitalizations. They rely totally on Allah. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu an said, the words Hasbuna Allah wa ni'mal wakil, Allah is sufficient for us, and how fine a trustee He is. This statement was proclaimed by Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he was thrown into the fire by his own people. And it was also stated by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the hypocrite said to him, people have gathered against you, so fear them. But it increased their faith. And they said, sufficient is Allah for us, and He is the best to rely on. And this hadith is from Sahih Bukhari. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you rely on Allah with due reliance, Allah will provide for you as He does for the birds. They leave with empty stomachs in the morning and return full at dusk. And this hadith is from Tirmidhi. Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says when he leaves his home, Bismillah, Tawakkaltu ala Allah wa hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, in the name of Allah, I place my trust in Allah, and there is no might nor power except with Allah, it will be said about this person, you will be guided, protected, and suffice. And then one of the shayateen will say to another of the shayateen, what do you think of, or what harm do you think we can do to one who is guided, protected, and suffice? And this hadith can be found in Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, as well as other narrations. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, these were the words, the translation of the words of Allah Azza wa Jal and of His Messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding reliance upon Him, this concept of tawakkul. And all that has been mentioned so far are but a few of the numerous verses from the Quran and the Ahadith which relate to the great and virtuous subject of reliance on Allah. Indeed, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, reliance on Allah is a great act of worship which many people have strayed away from due to either ignorance or negligence. And the ulama of this noble being have said, reliance on Allah is half of the religion of Islam, and the other half is returning to Him in repentance. So my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, therefore the religion of Islam comprises of seeking the support of Allah and worshipping Him. The support element is to rely on Him, and the worship element is to return to Allah in repentance. And the following ayat affirms this, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran Kareem, and we repeat this ayat so many times every day when we make the salah, it is you we worship, and you we ask for help. This means that we worship none but Allah. We worship Him alone. And in order to do so, brothers and sisters, we seek support from Him alone, because He is truly the only real supporter. Sahal ibn Abdullah al-Tastari, he said, Rahimullah rahmatullah alayhi, seeking all types of knowledge is an act of worship. And all acts of worship are a form of piety. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, those who rely on Allah, indeed they are of different classes from amongst the believers. Thomas are the awliya, the friends, the devoutly religious, or the devoutly righteous ones, who are those who rely on Allah with regard to matters of proclaiming the religion, supporting it, making Allah Azza wa Jalla's word supreme, and fighting jihad fi sabilillah for the sake of Allah. And the people who come after this are those who rely on Allah with regards to their own righteousness and adherence to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And finally, there are those who rely on Allah only in matters for which they have a need, such as for their provision or for their health, victory over their enemies, when they want to get married, or when they feel the need or the desire to have children, and things of this nature. We have to recognize, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, that the best of all these types of reliance is in fact the second one, due to the fact that this is the reliance that we have in regards to performing our obligations, which is of course the foremost matter that we will be held accountable for. the reliance on Allah when we need to make our salah, things like this. These are what we will be questioned about first. However, the most beneficial and rewarding type of reliance upon Allah is the first one, because it is related to benefiting the religion of Al-Islam. And this is the type that the messengers of Allah, that they had as they endeavored to establish this beautiful deen of Islam on the earth and to remove the corruption from the earth. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, mankind's reliance on Allah differs according to people's ambition, zeal, and objectives. Some of us may rely on Allah in order to attain an empire, while others would do so simply to get a loaf of bread to eat. One who is sincere in relying on Allah to achieve an objective, he will realize it. If it was in order to please Allah, indeed there will be a good outcome. Otherwise, the outcome may be destructive. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to recognize that tawakkul, reliance upon Allah, is a deed of the heart and not a deed of the limbs. Shaykh al-Islam, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Rahimullah, Rahmatullah alayh, he said, reliance is a deed performed by the heart. And what this means to us, brothers and sisters, is that it is something which a person neither professes with his tongue nor acts out with his limbs. And this concept of reliance can be defined, as some of the scholars have said, which is the certainty of the heart that the Lord is sufficient for them. While others of the scholars have said that it is the submission of the heart to Allah, where one stops making his own choices and happily lives with decrees as they happen. And a third group of the scholars said that this reliance is being content with the decree of Allah. So my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we must know that reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal, it stands on six pillars. And the first pillar, brothers and sisters, is to know Allah by His qualities, His names, and His attributes, such as the fact that He alone is all-capable and all-sufficient to rely on, and that He is the sustainer, that He is all-knowing, and that things can only happen with His decree and by His will. And recognizing these facts, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this achieves the first pillar, with which the slaves of Allah initiates this concept of reliance. And the more that a slave of Allah knows about Him, the more sound and firm his reliance on Allah will be. As a young sister came to the site for the first time last night, she mentioned the fact that when she became a Muslim, she knew nothing about Tawheed. She didn't even know about Allah. The dawah that she was given was about Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But based on this dawah that she was given in regards to Adam, she came to this noble deen. And then later, when she learned about the beauty of Allah, about this concept of Tawheed, then she became able to rely on Allah Azza wa Jalla. The second pillar is to believe that every matter has a cause or a means in order for it to be materialized. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, some of us give up utilizing these means due to our ignorance. And we think that this is reliance upon Allah. They wait for Allah to send down their provisions and to feed them, while all they do all day is lie down on their beds, without exerting any effort whatsoever. This, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, is nothing but the laziness, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to in the hadith, which was narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said, be keen to do that which will benefit you. Rely on Allah and do not be lazy by not exerting effort. And say, when a problem befalls you, if I would have done such and such, then the result would have been such and such. Rather, you should say, this was decreed by Allah, and Allah does what He wills. Saying if, it only opens the gates for the shayateen. And this hadith is from Sahih Muslim. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the one who is relying on Allah must know that although he must utilize all the possible means which Allah has provided for him, his heart must still rely totally on Allah to achieve his objectives. For example, when one of us is applying for a job, at no time should we ever disattach or unattach ourselves from the belief that the provision is totally from Allah. We should never think that the job itself is a form of provision or is the thing that provides for us. But in fact, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the utilization of all possible means, all possible halal means, is from the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fighting in the Battle of Uhud, a battle in which he was injured, he wore two coats of mail armor in this battle. He didn't just think, well, Allah will protect me, therefore I will make no effort to protect myself. But he took provision. He was intelligent enough to know to use the materials and the technology that was available in his time for his protection, yet always trusting on Allah for his safety and his security. And also, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to save enough provisions for a whole year, when he was able to do so, as related in the hadith in Bukhari. Yet we all know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of all of mankind in relying totally on Allah azza wa jal. The third pillar, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, is to remain firm in relying upon Allah alone. And indeed, this concept of tawakkul cannot be achieved until one relies on Allah alone. Therefore, no one can claim true reliance on Allah while at the same time believing that a shaykh or a pious person, whether they are dead or alive, can harm them or benefit them. In fact, a person who does such a thing has ruined his entire faith. Not just this concept of reliance on Allah. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that if all of men and all of jinn got together to hurt us, and Allah does not want us to be hurt, then indeed, there is no hurt for us. But at the same time, if all of men and all of jinn got together to help us, and no one wants us to, and Allah does not want us to be hurt, then there's no hurt for us. Just like in the Khutbah Tahajjud, those who Allah guides, no one can lead them astray. And those who Allah allows to stray, there is no one that can guide them toward the right. So we must remain firm on this concept that this trust and this allegiance and this tawakkul must be in Allah and Allah alone. The fourth pillar is to depend on Allah completely with one's heart, and to feel tranquility when doing so, to the extent that one does not feel anxious or confused regarding the status of means with which the objectives are going to be accomplished. Some people do not feel secure until they utilize these means. And if Allah Azza wa Jalla, for example, decrees that these means will not be available, then they fall distraught. And their iman decreases. And some indeed, they lose their Islam outright. Of course, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, these types of people, their reliance on Allah is incomplete. Because true reliance is when a person does not care if the means are available or not. Because they know that all matters are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he has to do, all that he has to do for a matter to occur, as he proved with the creation of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, is to proclaim, kun fayakun, be and it is. The fifth pillar, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, is to realize that the essence of reliance on Allah is to entrust all matters to Him and to Him alone willingly, without feeling forced to do so. This is just like, for example, how when we were children and when we were weak, we would trust our parents to the fact that they knew better than we did and that they cared about us and that they were merciful and they were sufficient for us in carrying out our affairs and managing our property and things of this nature. We recognize that as children, our parents could do better for us than we could do for ourselves. We may not have recognized this at that time, but as we have become adults or we go into adulthood, then we realize this or we recognize this about our parents. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned this type of entrustment in the Quran when he says, and the translation of the meaning goes, and I entrust my affairs to Allah. Indeed, brothers and sisters, the one who entrusts Allah does so in the certainty that when Allah decrees, it is better for him. Even if it is apparently the opposite of what we desire or what we believe to be good. And indeed, even if what is decreed for us appears to be evil, we have to recognize that Allah Azza wa Jalla knows and He does what is best for us, even if at that point we don't like it. Such a person is content with the decree of Allah as he knows that it is better for him, whether the benefit is apparent or not. And the sixth pillar, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, is to be content with the outcome of the reliance on Allah, on the Qadr of Allah, the decree of Allah. In fact, this is the fruit of entrusting Allah with all of one's affairs. And for this reason, the scholars of Islam have defined reliance on Allah to mean contentment with the decree of Allah. One who relies on Allah before acting and is content with what results afterwards has fulfilled servitude to Allah, of which reliance on Allah is a branch. And that is why some of the scholars of this noble deen, have said regarding a person who fulfills this, that his decree has two things, reliance before it and contentment after it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the dua of Salatul Istiqara, when we're seeking guidance or we're trying to formulate a decision about something in our life, he taught us to say, O Allah, I seek your counsel by your knowledge and by your power. I seek strength. I ask you from your immense favor. Brothers and sisters, this is entrustment of and reliance upon Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes on to teach us. He said, indeed, you are able, and I am not able. And indeed, you know, while I do not know. And you are the knower of the unseen. Just like when we take our shahadas, brothers and sisters, first we give a negation before affirmation. in this dua of Salatul Istikhara, we again have a negation or a denial prior to affirming. This is the denial of having any knowledge or any power. And then supplicating to Allah by virtue of His names and attributes. Then asking Him to decree for us that which is good for us. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, here the Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us how to obtain reliance in this dua, which many of us are negligent about. We do things and we don't make Salatul Istikhara. It's reported in the hadith that even when it came down to the matters of the straps of the sandals, the companions of the Prophet would make this salah and make this dua. So why can't we be like those who rely upon Allah? Those whose hearts are attached to none but Allah. Those who have hopes in Allah and supplicate only to Allah. These are the people who utilize all means that are halal and that are available to him, but in the end, they only rely on the one who facilitates these means. While they deal with the creation, they rely only on the Creator. The glad tidings and the success are for these types of people. Those who seek refuge only in Allah, the one who controls the heavens and the earth. Allahu Akbar. While others have their hearts attached to the reliance of others who cannot benefit them, nor can they harm them. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, one who truly relies on Allah will never worry about obtaining provisions, nor will he ever attempt to obtain them unlawfully. We must all recognize, brothers and sisters, that the provisions are in the hands of Allah, and that it was recorded for us while we were still in the wombs of our mothers. And many of the people when dealing about, for example, the issue of polygyny, one of the first arguments that comes from the mouths of people who are against this noble concept of polygyny, they say, well, the brother doesn't make enough money. He can't provide for the sister. He can't do this. He can't do that. When they're making this statement, they're neglecting the fact or negating the fact that the risk, the provision, comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. So whatever has been written for this woman, whether she's with this husband or not with this husband, whether she's with him or another man or alone, whatever is written for her, she is going to get it. And whatever is not written for her, there's no way she could ever have it. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about this hadith, he said, the matter of the creation of a human being is put together in the womb of the mother in 40 days. And then he becomes a clot of thick blood for a similar period. And then a piece of flesh for a similar period. Then Allah sends an angel who is ordered to write four things. He is ordered to write down his deeds, his livelihood, the time of his death, and whether he will be blessed or wretched in the hereafter. Then the soul is breathed into him. So a man amongst you may do good deeds, till there is only an arm's length between him and paradise. And then what has been written for him decides his behavior, and he starts doing evil deeds, characteristic of the people of the hellfire. And similarly, a man amongst you will do evil deeds, till there is only an arm's length between him and the hellfire. And then what has been written for him decides his behavior, and he starts doing deeds characteristic of the people of paradise. And this hadith, brothers and sisters, is from Bukhari and Muslim. So my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, if our provisions are already decreed and will come to us regardless of whether we look for them or not, then why should one of us worry about them? Why should one commit doubtful or even unlawful deeds in order to obtain these provisions. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, jabber, ready enough, unnarrated, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, fear Allah and seek your provisions in moderation, because nobody will die until he has consumed his provisions, even if he does not look for it. So fear Allah and seek your provisions in moderation, and take only that which is lawful and abandon that which is unlawful. And this hadith comes from Ibn Majah. Dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, abandoning the utilization of means violates this concept of reliance upon Allah. Just like depending on means also violates reliance upon Allah. Some people abandon the use of means claiming that they only rely upon Allah, despite the fact that Allah rebuked those who behaved in such a manner. Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu an, he narrated that the people of Yemen used to come to Hajj without bringing their provisions, saying, we rely only on Allah. But when they would reach Mecca, they would start begging people for money. So Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verse in Surah Baqarah that says, and take provisions. But indeed, the best provision is the fear of Allah. I have said what I have said, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive me and to forgive you. Anything that I said that is incorrect is from myself and the shayateen, and all that is correct and good is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك بارك الله فيكم وجزاك الله خير السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. If you have any questions, concerns or corrections, please make them known now. بارك الله فيكم.